Michael said, appreciate everyone that made their way out here tonight. Thank the visitors, the rest of the members for seeing fit to be at the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Thank you for those who came. Like the church, thank the church here, those who have been visiting this week, to know that I had to leave yesterday morning to go home and do a funeral, then come back this morning. I appreciate your prayers. For the prayers for my travels, I appreciate the prayers for being able to try to stand and preach a grandfather's funeral. And I'm thankful that y'all have enough confidence in us and love us enough that you do that for us. I really appreciate that. If you got your scriptures and you'd like to follow along tonight, this message came to us as we was driving back that way yesterday. And it's in the 7th chapter here of the book of 2 Kings, 7th chapter, 2 Kings. And we're now looking here at the time that Elisha is the prophet here we find in Israel. And we find that if we go into the reading lesson here, we find that the Syrians have now came about and had surrounded Jerusalem. And the reason why they had came about and surrounded Jerusalem is the fact that the leader of the Syrians was trying to catch the Israelites. He was trying to defeat them in battle there. But Elisha, three different times, he was setting ambushes out there for him. But Elisha, three different times, warned the king, said, don't send your soldiers there, don't send your soldiers there. And he's got an ambush for them. So this man has now gotten so mad at this prophet here of God that he wants the life of this prophet of God here, and he sends his army to encamp around Jerusalem. And we find here that this time frame that they are going to end up being delivered. But reading here in the 7th chapter of 2 Kings, it says, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering end of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the othermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied in the tent as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they came out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. They took therefore two chariots horses, and the king sent after the host of Syrians, saying, Go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians, so a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and 1 measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. And with the mistakes made here, this is reading the second book of Kings here, chapter 7, verses 1 through 20. And we find that the prophet Elisha here, he's caught up here in the city just like everybody else is. And the word of the Lord comes unto him, telling him that the next day that they were going to be delivered. And he went out and he told them that tomorrow the famine there, the problems that they had, was going to come to an end. We find there that if you've ever studied anything in history, when they set up and they come around cities, or you study biblical history, when they come in and they set up, a lot of times the main purpose of an army just setting up outside the city was to make sure that they had the outward flocks, the outward crop blocked up so nobody could get to them. They got everybody encamped into the city, and these people knew the city had a finite or a fixed amount of food within the gates. So their goal was to try to starve everybody out. The Syrian army here wanted Elisha because he was basically throwing a monkey wrench in their plans to try to overtake and subdue the Israelites here. But the Lord lets them know that they're going to be delivered there. And we find there that he tells them at this time tomorrow that a measure of flour will be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Because at this time, like we said, the famine had set in. They had nothing left in the city. And when he made this statement there, one of the right-hand men there of the king said, How's this going to be sold? If the Lord in heaven would open up the windows of heaven there, it would do. And he looked at that man and said, You'll see it with your eyes, but you'll not behold it. And then we find out here, and go outside the city gate here, you find that there's 4 leprous men here at the entering end of the gate. And if you've ever studied anything about leprosy back here in this time there, lepers had to get outside of contact with the human, with anybody inside the city that was not affected. They had to go outside the camp. They had to get it out until they were cleansed, until that leprosy was gone, and they could come back into the city and prove to the priest that the leprosy had left him, and got a letter from the priest saying that you could return back to the way that you were. So we find here that these 4 leprous men here, they're sitting close to the gate. As best as I can tell here, they weren't inside the city gate because the people inside the town didn't want anything to do with them because they were afraid they'd catch it. But they were all right sitting out here outside the city gate because the Syrians weren't going to bother them either, because the Syrians were just afraid of that leprosy if they possibly could there. And these lepers here, they're sitting outside this city gate. They've been probably sitting there counting on people's charity for some time now. People to feed them and take care of them or leave something there for them to eat. Or they just trying to go around and pick up any substance of anything that got thrown or left there on the side. Well, everybody's closed up in the city. They don't have anything now. And they're sitting here. And they realize and they look into themselves and they say, Why do we sit here until we die? If we go into the city, we're going to die because there's no food. We keep sitting right here in the situation that we're in. We're going to die. Well, let's try to go see if the Syrians will have mercy on us. So we find here that they pack up, they head out toward the Syrian camp. And as they get to the Syrian camp, they arrive to the Syrian camp there, and the Syrians are gone. God had come through and made a loud noise so much that it scared these Syrians that they packed up everything. They didn't even pack up. They just left their camp. They left their tents and went back home. That's how much it scared them. And we find that these leprous men, that they come in and they see that nobody's there. Well, they haven't eaten in some time, so they go into that first tent and they get everything they can. They eat till they're full. They steal all the silver, all the gold, anything that was worth anything, they took it out and they hid. They went into another camp and did the same thing, another tent there and did the same thing. And then they sat there and realized, what are we doing? We're doing something that ain't right. This is not right. We need to go back into town and let them know and bang on the gate there and tell the porters that we have news for the king that the Syrians are gone. And we find there that they go back to the city there and they tell them that they're gone. Now the man who had scoffed at Elisha there before, he scoffed once again at this report. He said, ah, they have left the tents and hoping that you would come out of the city and that they would take you. He was trying to convince him that it was a trick. But these men kept trying to explain to him that, yes, these people were gone. So they finally come to the realization there, and they send some horses out there, and they find out that they're gone. And they're delivered here from this siege here by the Syrians. And exactly what would happen to the man there that made fun and poked at Elijah and said these things, what Elijah said would happen to him, it happened to him. Elisha said there, because God had showed him that they were going to be delivered that day, Elisha's prophecy here came to fruition. Now, this aside I want to set here and really take a little bit more in-depth look here at these four leprous men. These four leprous men sitting outside this city gate knew their condition. They knew they were going to die. They got up and moved. They got up and did something. Because they got up and did something, they were delivered. Because they got up and did something, they were delivered. I want you to keep that point in your mind there. They got up and moved and did something, and they were delivered there. They went out to the camp there. They knew that they were going to die. They went out to the camp and found them gone. And they started doing what they thought was right in their own eyes, but then they realized that they were doing wrong. Something had changed about them. Something had changed about their characteristic there. Something had changed with them. These men realized that they had done something, that if they had stayed where they were at or they went inside the town, they were dying there, and they realized the question. They asked that question there, why sit we here until we die? We had to do something. They did something. Because they did something, they were delivered. Now, the reason why I told you to keep that in your mind, sit there and think about this. If you're here and you're lost and you're undone without God, you can't keep sitting there thinking He's going to pick you up by your hair and your head and save you also. You've got to make a move toward Him. You've got to make an offer. You can't just sit there. You can come inside this church house from week to week and come in during the revival time and think He's going to do save your soul, but you have got to make an altar unto Him that He will save your lost soul. You've got to give it over to Him. You've got to make a move, just like these four leprous men made a move there. They made a move, and it delivered them. Lost sinners have got to make a move. They've got to make an altar somewhere. They've got to call on Him with their heart somewhere. They've got to make peace with Him. They've got to make a move. Why? Sit here until you die. Sitting in this church house won't save you. Being baptized won't save you. Amen. Saying a little prayer
after a minister or shaking a minister's hand will not save you. You have to go to the one who died on the cross. What would have happened here if these four leprous men just sat there? They'd have died. They'd have died. They realized that. Oh, sinner, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. Scripture says wages of sin is death. Because Adam sinned, sin came down upon all mankind. The wages of sin is death. Our end is death. But he promised you life eternal. He promised that soul, the inward man there, he's promised that life eternal. Yep. But you got to come to his son.
Yeah.
You've got to get the blood applied to your heart to be saved.
Yeah.
You can't just sit there and think it's going to happen.
Right.
With the heart, that's where you take care of it. You may make your confession with your mouth, but it's right here in this heart that it's being taken care of. Why sit you here until you die?
Yeah.
Why sit here? Why sit here? What's the end? The end is death. And then the question is where are you going to go after death? Now, a lot of people want to say there ain't nothing after death. The Bible says there's two places after death, heaven and hell.
Amen.
Heaven is for those who made an effort. Stepped out there on faith, like Brother Mike preached the other night there. They stepped out there and believed in the Son and got that blood applied. That's where their home will be. But for the lost sinner, the one who will finally take a final breath and reject God for the last time, hell will be his home. Hell will be your home if you die in that lost condition. Why sit you there until you die? Why sit there? I know the devil sitting there can work on you and try to convince you that he'll shut up soon and we'll walk out of these doors soon and it'll be all right. I can come back in here and do the same thing tomorrow night and come in Sunday morning and Sunday night, and if the meeting breaks Sunday night, well, I don't have to worry about it until the next Sunday when preaching's again. I don't have to worry about it till next year. But you know what? You ain't guaranteed tomorrow night. You ain't guaranteed Sunday morning. You're not guaranteed Sunday night. You're not guaranteed the next Sunday. You're not guaranteed next revival.
Right.
Why sit you there and die? Why sit there and die in a lost condition?
Yeah.
He calls out to you. These men made a move. Brother Mike gave you a demonstration there of the three other people who made a move. The woman with the issue of blood, she had to move. She had to go and overcome the obstacles that was in her way to just touch the hem of his garment. You see, there you had the other man, Zacchaeus. He had to climb up there. The little short man had to climb up in the tree there so that he could see Jesus. Those people had to make a move.
Yeah.
And those aren't the only ones the scriptures talk about. Every one of you that's sitting here under the sound of my voice that knows even the free pardon of sin, you had to make a move.
Yeah.
You had to make an altar somewhere to God.
Yeah,
it may not have been up here, but this right here is a good place to seek him at. Yeah. Some of you may not even been saved in a church house.
Right.
But you had to make a move somewhere.
Yeah.
You had to make a move somewhere.
Amen.
I've heard all kinds of testimonies of where people have been saved, but they had to kneel before God and they had to pour it out to him. And they had to turn it over to him and trust and believe him through faith.
Yeah.
And be saved.
Amen.
It can happen anywhere. I've heard corn cribs, barns, roof of a barn, foxholes. You hear a lot from those old soldiers in years gone by being saved in foxholes. I have my dad's dad My other granddad, he was saved out picking blackberries out by an old wood stump. God can save you anywhere.
Yeah.
But every one of these people, every one of these descriptions, they had to do something. They had to make a move. They couldn't just keep staying where they were at. They realized that any way that they were going, that death was coming. That's what these four leprous men realized. And they did something about it.
Yeah.
And they were delivered. What would have happened if they just sat there? They would have died. When Elisha's prophecy came through, it took these four men to do something for Elisha's prophecy to come true. If they'd have sat there, they'd surely die.
Yeah.
Sinner friend, don't sit there and die. Don't sit there and die. Don't sit there and die. You've got to do something. And we know from standing up here, we can see that this is bothering some of you. But you've got to make a move. You've got to make it right. Me and Brother Mike can't do it. This church here can't do it. You've got to make the move. If the Lord's dealing with you, you better seek Him while you have the time. You better seek Him while you have the time. I know that message may be short tonight, and it may be scattered, and our thoughts may be here and there. But that's what He laid upon us today, and to ask the question here tonight, why sit you here until you die? Why sit you here until you die? Seek the Lord. Trust in Him. Find Him while He is still passing by.
Amen.
If you would, get a song, this will be altar call. Lost sinner, come seek Him. Don't sit there and die. Don't sit there and die.